You can sit. So, this afternoon, with the help of the Lord, we will speak and meditate upon the 53rd verse of chapter 24 of the Gospel of Luke. Luke chapter 24, verse 35. Where we read, and they told what things were done in the way, and how he was known of them in breaking of bread. So, and they told those whom they traveled back to, they told them what things were done in the way, and how he was known of them in the breaking of bread. These two men were walking dejected, sad. They were two disciples of the Lord Jesus. One is Cleopas, the other one we have no name. But these two men were those who had followed the Lord Jesus and his teaching and his ministry. And they're walking for miles back to their home, dejected, sad, and discouraged. For the Lord Jesus had been crucified. And they were talking about those things which they couldn't understand. Their Savior, the Master, had been crucified, had been buried. But even more, they had said that he had risen again. And as they walk along, one joins them, and they know not who it is. They continue, they're sad, dejected, and the Lord, in their dejection in their faces, and the Lord says to them, "What manner of communication are these that you have one with another as you walk so sad and are so sad?" They were astonished that he didn't know what had taken place in the previous days. And they asked him, "Do you not know what has taken place?" What we notice here is that these two men, disciples of the Lord Jesus, who are dejected, who are sad, followers of the Lord Jesus, and yet have not had a revelation of Jesus Christ in his finished work. In his finished work, which was, as our text says, in his broken work, in his finished Calvary work, his work on the cross. How many today live in the same situation? And maybe it will be recognized, because these two men, they were living in the work of Jesus Christ before Calvary. And just like the other disciples, that meant that their expectation was completely wrong. Since they were living in a post Calvary heart, their expectations are flawed as well. Today, we see this so much. It's not just a beautiful story of Christ joining and Christ revealing himself, where we may certainly rejoice. But what does this mean for us today and for the world today? For this is yet evident today, how that these two are walking, having had a great expectation, having followed Christ, having witnessed Christ, having heard his teaching, having seen him, having been with him, yea, even so much, otherwise they would not be sad, a love for Christ, a deep-rooted love for their master. How many today are walking the same? With who have witnessed or seen or heard the gospel, maybe even have a love for the Lord Jesus, a desire, and yet are walking sad and dejected. Countenance is off. Things are not as you expected. Things are not as you thought they would be. The gospel comes, the gospel revealed, Jesus Christ, the Savior, the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, the Messiah, forgiveness of sins. maybe even being in the way that these two have a knowledge, an understanding, a realization that Jesus Christ has been crucified. Jesus Christ has gone the way of death, buried in a grave. And these two men are dejected, sad. Why is it so? Why is it so then? And why is it today? Maybe in your life. There's no other reason is then that their expectation is different. Their expectation of Christ is different than what Christ, how Christ, or how the prophets, how Moses, how the Old Testament brought Christ about. And your expectation? What is your expectation? For they were dejected because, we read it. What did he say? What did they two say? In verse 21, but we trusted that it had been he which should have redeemed Israel. And beside this, today is the third day since these things were done. We trusted. You see, there's a trust in Christ. They had trusted in Christ for something. We had trusted that he would redeem Israel. That was their expectation. That is what they thought was taking place, was going to take place. And they would be part of the redeeming of Israel. Their expectation was wrong. And that's why they were walking dejected, and that's why they can't understand what is taking place. Christ says, O fools, you and me, if we may search our heart tonight, what is your expectation? What do you expect in faith in Jesus Christ? Faith to look unto Christ. Faith to see him. Even to know that he is the Messiah. To follow him. Faith to receive him as he is. And this is what they did. And yet, expectation so different. For maybe you too have an expectation that your life will become better. The things that in your life, your struggles, the wrongs, sickness, temptation, trial, difficulties, all of those things in your life. See, if we believe in Jesus Christ and we receive Him in our heart, then we think, my life will change. Things will get better. I will be happier. I will get the things that I desire. And I trust that if I choose for Jesus, that He will help me. And now I'm confounded and confused. I don't understand, like these two men. I trusted He would deliver me. He would help me out of my difficulties, out of my trials. Now my wife is sick, or my husband is sick, and all of these things are taking place in my life, and I don't understand. And these two men, as it were, said, were we mistaken? Were we mistaken? Could it not be true that Jesus will redeem? Doubt came to their heart, and the Lord says, oh, you fools and slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have spoken. He says, as it were, all the prophets have spoken of this. And about this. But where is Christ revealed? Where is the finished work of Christ revealed? How does Christ reveal it? In earthly goods? In things that we would want for our body? Things that we want for our family? Maybe to not have to suffer, maybe not so much poverty anymore. If we believe in Jesus Christ, things, our life is going to change. And it's true, but our life does not change in our body. These two men, they, as they walk, Jesus Christ reveals in the prophets, through the prophets, He expounded unto them in all the scriptures the things concerning Himself. So they're walking along and He's expounding, opening up the scriptures, and He's saying to them, and this must be understood very closely, He's saying to them, this, what is all taken place, all what I'm explaining to you, for hours He walked with them, is the truth. And he's explaining, expounding to them how that the Christ must die, how that He must raise the third day. And you know what's remarkable? He says, expounded unto them everything of Himself, the things concerning Himself. And you know what? They still did not know Him. 2 hours, 3 hours, expounding unto them. You would say, if you had Jesus Christ walk by you, beside you, and expound to you from here to Blantyre all the things of Jesus Christ, that you would see this is Him. But such great expectation they had for the things of the world, for the redemption of Israel, for an earthly kingdom, must understand this, we had trusted that He was going to set up an earthly kingdom, we were going to reign with Him, we were going to drive out the Romans, we're going to, just like David and Solomon, build a new kingdom. You see, the disciples had the same things in mind. They thought it will be even greater than the temple that Solomon built. We will have here on earth a great and glorious kingdom. This Messiah will be our leader, will drive out the enemies, will drive them far away, the Romans. And we will reign with him, and we will reign in glory. They thought this was what the Messiah was coming to do. Maybe us too. For we can know, or we can hear of Christ, and we can read of Christ, we can hear of Christ, but do we know where he's revealed? They were astounded, and their eyes were opened, and in the breaking of bread, Jesus Christ was revealed. That's where Jesus Christ showed them who he was, in the breaking of bread. Why? Why is Christ revealed in the breaking of bread? Why not as they're walking? Unbelief. Unbelief, because they thought if he's going to set up this new kingdom and it's going to be glorious, we shall be part of it. They had already thought, along with the disciples, what their job title would be, who they would be. They would be honored. They would receive glory. They would receive like the king and the kings in that time, the empires of that time, lots of food. They would never be hungry again. Jesus Christ told them all of these things, that what he would bring, but he told them all about a heavenly kingdom. And it's revealed in the breaking of bread. And so that they could not understand, they could not receive the things that are of Christ. Why? Because their expectations were completely different. They were on a different level. They were not with Christ. And what Christ had revealed. Okay? He's saying here, as he reveals himself in the breaking of bread, he says, you will find me, he says that today, you will see me, find me, and know me as a broken Christ, as a dead Christ. That's where you'll find me. As one who broke, whose body is broken for you. That's where we see Christ. Why is it as such? Because they thought he will be a king. He will be glorious on earth here. He will be glorious. He will have a crown. He will be exalted. And it's completely the opposite. Completely the opposite for here on earth. As he was here on earth. Look at him upon Golgotha. Is that the king of the Jews? There's written on the cross, the king of the Jews. No, write that he said he was the king of the Jews. But Jesus Christ became broken, would allow himself to be broken to death. And right in the broken body of Jesus Christ, faith sees the king. Faith sees the crown. Faith sees the kingdom of God. But without a broken Christ, there is no pathway to the kingdom. And these two men, they had thought earthly riches, earthly glory, earthly honor. And Jesus said, Jesus of Jesus, brought it to them. Jesus Christ revealed himself in the breaking of bread, while he expounded for hours to them the scriptures concerning himself. And they did not say, they did not see, they did not realize, this is him, this is Jesus Christ. For they continued, but their heart is beginning to burn more and more. You see, because when Jesus Christ reveals himself in the breaking of bread, so as bread, as we break bread in pieces, especially at the Lord's Supper, and bread breaks open, and there you see, believe, and receive a broken Christ, the heart begins to burn. The heart begins to not only burn, but melt. Oh, which king would give himself broken for a people? Do you know that king? Have you been there? And have you received a king? Well, nowadays, Jesus Christ is triumphantly chanted, and the king is triumphantly glorified. So much, but how many realize a broken Christ? How many have received a broken Christ for you? A Christ who would take the shame that belongs to you. A Christ who would take your sins and break under the wrath of God for your curse, taking your curse upon him. A Christ that would go to the slaughter, not opening his mouth, like a lamb to the slaughter, not opening his mouth. And in the breaking of bread, Christ is revealed. Because if you have not received a broken Christ, a Christ who has been broken for you, then you must break yourself. One who will not receive a humbled Christ, a Christ who humbled himself so deep for our transgression, which is our high-mindedness, our high thoughts of ourselves, humbled himself so deep and took those sins upon himself. See, these two men, their hearts began to burn, and burning, while burning, as fire lights or ignites the soul and the heart, it begins to also melt their heart. For Christ does not call them fools for nothing. For these two men needed, and so do we, needed the word, the power of the word, to melt them, to ignite them, and melt them. And what happens when something melts? It humbles. Oh, the high-mindedness, the great thoughts. You see, because for these two men, it wasn't first about Christ. Although there was an expectation and even a love to Christ, even a desire to follow Christ. All of these things took place in their life. They were dejected. Yet in their dejection, such high thoughts yet of self. That they would have a kingdom. They would be part of a kingdom that Christ would build. And the scripture, starting from Moses, begins to melt them by the fire of the Holy Spirit. Fire melts, and their heart begins to melt, sinking deeper and deeper away in adoration. Because what do you think Christ brought out to them here? He brought everything to them that had to do with self-denial. Self-denial. And a Christ who would die to take the sins. And the scripture is foreshadowing, all the way from Moses, from the first book of Moses, which means Genesis. For Moses wrote the first books of the Bible. All the way from Genesis, he would expound. He would bring them from place to place. And he would continue to do this with them. And why is their heart melting? Because they're hearing of one who, a king who will come, who will and continuously through the Old Testament will be broken, 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 will humble himself unto death, into the grave. One who will be whipped, one who will be scourged, one who will carry a crown of thorns. One who will come because of the rebellion of the people, because of the sins, to take away the curse. Didn't sound so nice anymore. You know, when they had all these great thoughts about being in his kingdom here on earth and maybe being in the parliament, in the government, maybe a minister of this or a minister of that. Being rid of the enemies, Romans being pushed out, being slaughtered, beautiful palace, beautiful kingdom. That's what they had in mind. Is that what you have in mind? What has the Lord given you? What is your lot today? And what has your lot been? For we must realize something. The Lord will continuously break us. The Lord, in our life here on earth, the more we are anchored into this earth, the more expectation we have here on earth, the more he shall break us off and break us down, melt our heart. If Christ is revealed, if you have seen Christ's glory, and maybe a time where he was so glorious, so great, so free, so full, so lovely, so desirous. But maybe, like these men, you have expectations that you'll become someone here on earth, that he needs you here on earth, that things here on earth, your life will now go better. Your expectation becomes high because he needs you and he needs me. And Christ is expounding these scriptures and he's talking about death. He's talking about rebellion. He's talking about all of the things that took place, that the prophets prophesied about. Maybe he took them to his eye and said and showed him the verse. As a sheep led to the slaughter, so he opened not his mouth. Yea, he was smitten, and he was esteemed as nothing. Maybe he took him through all of these prophecies, and when these prophecies were brought and expounded by Christ himself, not in a glorious what the kingdom will look like here on earth, and that it will have so many courtiers, and he didn't explain as the temple of kingdom of Solomon how beautiful it was. No, because he probably brought them to that scripture where the Queen of Sheba said, "The half was not told me." See, he brought them to a knowledge of one thing. He led them, as he led them through Scripture, as he led them through the Old Testament, through the prophets, through Moses, he led them to one thing. And as he led them, they came to the house. And their hearts were so full, so burning, melting with love of a suffering Christ, though they didn't recognize them, though they still didn't quite understand, they invited him in. They brought him into his house, into their house, and they said, "Eat with us, for the night is long." And Jesus Christ came in with them, and he had brought them through the prophets to all the way up to a few days ago. And that's where he stopped. He said, didn't he have to suffer? You see, he brought them all the way up to his death and Calvary, the cross. He didn't have to bring them any further. Why not? Because they witnessed it themselves. He brought them all the way up to the point where they had witnessed. He brought them to the point where they didn't, where they were confused. We trusted that he should save Israel. And as they brought him up to that point, they come before the door. And they know not that it's him. And as they're eating, he breaks bread and their eyes open. You see, because they come here to Jerusalem with great excitement, the heart still burning. And you know what mystery they were able to expound to the people? "We've seen him. He is alive. He is not dead." But they didn't say he was revealed to us at supper time or along the way or anything like this. What do they say? They bring out, as it were, a mystery. They say to the people, "Christ is revealed who he is in the breaking of bread." People, they say, friend, they say, brothers, he expounded the scriptures and then revealed in the breaking of the bread why and who he is. And these two men are so full of love, so full, their hearts have been melted, that they begin to tell them, he's revealed himself in the breaking of the bread. He had to have died. He had to have been broken. And immediately he vanished. You know what that means? You know what that means? Immediately he vanished, as he gave the broken bread to them and handed it both to them. What happened? He's gone. What do they have in their hand? What do they have in their hand? The bread. The broken piece of bread. And that's Christ. That's Christ himself. Though he is gone, they look and behold the broken bread in their hand. And they marvel. No, he's not gone. He's vanished out of their sight, but he's still here. And he's closer than he's ever come, for they hold him in his hand. You see how glorious and rich the spiritual realm is outside of us. For he is in the heavens above. He lives today. And yet he's here with us. And these two men, they held the Lord Jesus both in their hand. And this is the glorious mystery that they wanted to expound to their brothers when they got to Jerusalem. They said to them, because when it says here how that they were known in the breaking of the bread, that wasn't just a common something. That wasn't just it happened to be they were eating bread, or it happened to be that's how he wanted to reveal himself. No, these two men came with a deeper mystery and said to them, who knows, maybe they took the bread with them. We don't know. Maybe they did. But what is also so glorious here is that what do they begin to do? Faith is there. Faith says, no, we have them in our hands. We see by faith the broken bread. And it tells us that he was broken for us for the reason that he is risen. Because you can't be risen if you haven't died. And you can't die if you haven't been killed. Jesus Christ did not die of old age, did not die of sickness, none of that. He was taken prisoner. He was murdered. We read and we know this. It wasn't accidental. It was done. And so that his resurrection and his standing up, his ascension into glory, has to be represented by something. And that is his death. You can't rise, you can't resurrect if you haven't died. And so he has this broken bread. They have this broken bread. And they begin to expound the mystery. Christ broken for me. Christ given to me. And he's this close. And then the brethren there in Jerusalem, they listen. And their hearts begin to melt. And what happens? What happens when their hearts begin to melt? Suddenly, Christ appears again to them all. We read that. And because the our text here says, and how he was revealed to them in the breaking of the bread. And the next verse says, and as they thus spake, Jesus himself stood in the midst and said unto them, peace be unto you. Peace be unto you. What was Jesus Christ saying? What was what was taking place here? As the men told them about the bread and the other men's heart began to melt, that he is resurrected, that they had held him as it were, in their hand, faith began to revive, and they began to long for the bread. And now, Jesus Christ could come himself in the midst and said, peace be unto you. For the bread of life comes right back. And this teaches us that faith in the broken body of Christ revives the soul, so that he may be present, whole, no longer broken. But without faith in the broken body, that is why he gave the institution of the Lord's Supper. And he said, so often as you do it in my name. So that when you gather together and you are weak, your faith is suffering, you are struggling, and there is, and things seem to be impossible. You've lost sight and lost the reason why Jesus Christ came. You may hold the bread, which is just ordinary bread, but by faith, looking into the bread, the broken body of Christ, no, he really did die He really was murdered for me. For that is the struggle. That we, if you have faith in Jesus Christ, if Jesus Christ has been revealed, you may not recognize, you may not realize it, but when there's unbelief, it means not believing that he died, that he was broken, which means we cannot believe that he is resurrected and that he sitteth on the right hand of the Father. And that's why he says, in the breaking of the bread, I will be there. And as you take the bread, as the breaking of the bread takes place, and you see by faith, yes, he is broken. That is Christ. He says, believe me that this is me. This is my body that is broken for you. Of course, it's not literal, but it's spiritual. And the breaking of the bread is so profoundly holy. Not the bread itself, but the breaking and the spiritual of it. So that we may see in the breaking of the bread, the broken bread, we may see Christ. And faith and revives the soul and melts the soul. And he comes in the midst of that and says, peace be unto you. In the midst of your heart and your soul, peace be unto you. I recognize it is beginning to get dark and we're a bit late. I hope that in the following times we may have some light. But we must end here, although we've just begun. But we pray that even for these few words, the Lord may bless this to your soul. For his name's sake, and that in the bread, the breaking of the bread, you may see and may recognize the broken body of Christ, and by faith see him as he is, resurrected from, not only resurrected, but that he is one with the Father, and that he has, even in his body, the scars to prove that he was broken for sinners. Amen.